Boom. What is up? Welcome back to another episode of the FPL Draft Joe podcast with myself, Nolesy. Hope you're all keeping well and are currently in the lead. We have one more game of game week 35 left, Spurs and Chelsea, but I'd say a lot of duels or matchups are already done. I'm in a particularly good mood because I've already won my game. You'd be surprised at how much it affects your mood, unfortunately, especially coming into these last couple of weeks. T12 is hot, hot. I am around mid-table. So if I get like a couple of wins, I can, you know, stay in the league. But yeah, it's very, very tough. If you don't know what the T12 is, make sure to follow us on Instagram and have a look. If you want to join up for next season, it's a competitive, collaborative draft league where you get promoted and relegated. We actually have a YouTube video on it as well if you want to hit us up, FPL Draft Duo. But let us continue. We are going to hit off game week 36 with the waivers. There has been loads of waivers because of injuries, and I suppose I have to give this little page a shout out because I think they're really, really good. Physio Scout on Twitter. They not only tell you like what the injury was, but they give you an estimated time off. So, you know, if it's bad, it could be 3 weeks. If it's good, they could be back the next game. I use that and Injury Experts on Twitter, combine them and, you know, I suppose my own thoughts on it and come up with, you know, an estimated time of arrival for the player coming back. I'm going to start off with goalkeepers, and the reason I'm talking about that injury expert is because we're looking at Ortega. Ortega would probably be a good pickup for the next couple of game weeks. It looks like, and I suppose I'm going to reference my physio scout, is that what the name is? Physio scout? About what it's going to say for Ederson, and they're predicting a couple of weeks for Ederson. Maybe 2 or 3 weeks. So if Ederson was out for 2 or 3 weeks, well, boom, we have Ortega for Wolves, who aren't looking like they're at much, Fulham and Spurs in a double game week. So Ortega, fantastic pickup for the next while. I'll be definitely putting him down. Neto, actually, now that I'm talking about it, Neto also didn't get the start. He was injured. He was carrying an injury, but Mark Travers has got the last two games and kind of doesn't look good for Neto because they have won both games 2-0. So before that, they hadn't kept a clean sheet. 31, won in about 10 games. So maybe Mark Travers retains his spot. One move I'll be doing this week is Neto to Ortega. I think we have to give a special shout out to Muric, whatever his name is, for Burnley. We've been talking about him for the last couple of weeks, and he has got consecutive hauls, I'll call them, for a keeper, 7 and 8, Sheffield and United, both of which they conceded in. So he's had 10 and 9 saves. I think we referenced his 11 saves back in game week 30. Since then, 1, 2, 8, 10 and 9 saves. Unbelievable. 3 bonus points against United. So, fantastic performance by him. Unfortunately, he plays Newcastle and Spurs, then Forest. Not too bad. Again, it's all about the save points. Don't expect him to keep clean sheets in any of them, but, you know, if he gets 4 or 5 points, that's a decent return from a waiver keeper. Another keeper that might be available due to injury is Olsen. Martinez went down, and again, Sports Scout estimated like 2 or 3 weeks. Injury experts, it said that he has tightness in his hamstring and they don't know how long. 2 or 3 weeks, that means if you picked up Olsen, you get Brighton and Liverpool. Not the most exciting fixtures, but Brighton haven't been that good going forward. I know they've had some tough fixtures. But yeah, Olsen, maybe if you wanted to get a playing keeper in, Brighton away, Liverpool at home, probably won't keep too many clean sheets. And Villa aren't the worst at the back, therefore, how many shots will he be facing? Always good to have a couple of keeper options though, just in the back pocket in case someone like Neto gets dropped or someone gets an injury. It's always nice to have them. On to our defenders section of the podcast, and we have a couple of gems coming in here. One good player, again, not much of a gem in terms of FPL, but in terms of what looks like a good attacking player, is Barco for Brighton. He's played the last two games and he's only got 1 point this season. That 1 point came from Liverpool, game week 30, he played 1 minute. But his performances have been good. He's racked up 0.3 XG over the two games, which doesn't sound amazing, but Brighton played Man City and Bournemouth. So Man City, I watched the game, he was a decent pick, but they just were very, very poor. They have a double game week coming up in 37, so if you want to increase the amount of players for the double game week, they play Villa, Newcastle and Chelsea, and then United. Now, another player came in, Afiyi. I just don't think he gets to start. It's hard to predict it. He played at right back. I know Van Hecke is injured, so Igor is also a good pick. But I don't think that Van Hecke injury is too long term. So, out of them Brighton defensive assets, Dunk is probably already taken. Barco is probably the most sustainable if you wanted to get one for the double game week. Another team and a couple of players that have been unbelievable for me is Everton. Everton have been very, very good the last couple of weeks in terms of defence. Three clean sheets in a row. Three home games, I suppose, makes a big difference. I've had Young and Brathwaite in my team the last 3 weeks, and they have, and McNeil now that I think of it, they have been unbelievable. Young picked up a bonus point as well this week, as far as I'm aware. So yeah, thank God they've been very, very good for me, got me over the line in two games. And yeah, you can add Ben Godfrey to that. Ben Godfrey played the last two games, 90 minutes. Unfortunately, Mikalenko is out for the season. Therefore, it will probably be Young, Brathwaite, Tarkowski and Godfrey. You know, Young, I think, played left back and Godfrey right back. Can't remember exactly, but so Godfrey is an option there. Again, Young probably taken. If not, another good option. Now, if we're moving up the list to, I suppose, slightly better players, Badiashile, we talked about him the last day, and wasn't too confident on the Chelsea defence, but now, because of injuries, it's a bit more solidified. Cucurella played the last day and is probably going to be nailed down left back. Thiago Silva came off injured, so therefore, Badiashile has probably locked down his place for that double, and De Sassi came on. Now, De Sassi's probably nailed his spot down centre-back because Gusto is also injured. And again, injury experts telling me that... let me see exactly what the quote was, because it didn't sound very positive. Chelsea injury list. Gusto. I am not a doctor, but I try to translate what is going on. Malo suffered a problem with his ligament in his knee. We hope it's not a big issue. No return date currently being assessed, ruled out. Doesn't sound good. So, Gilchrist, whatever you want to call him, will probably be in right back there for the next couple of games. Now, I've picked up Reece James on the waiver last week. I think it was free agent, actually. And he's at 25% fitness. He is back training with the team. Now, he will probably come back against... I'm going to predict he comes back against Forest. Plays a couple of minutes against Forest and is injured then. But if it doesn't look like he's coming back, Gilchrist could be good for West Ham and maybe part of the double. Unfortunately, Reece James is back. I picked him up. I'm just hoping. I had a spare spot. I'm not recommending Reece James because he's going to be injured. But if you really wanted to take a chance, he is there. And he is... He's 25%, so he's like an orange flag. But we all know the story. So we have some good defenders there. Livermento will probably get the next game in. He started and played 90 the last day. Play Burnley, and then they have a double. There's talks of Trippier coming back. But yeah, Livermento, decent pick for that Burnley away fixture. Now, what's significant, and I suppose is relevant when Everton are playing Luton this week away, Livermento, Newcastle playing Burnley away, is that the three games left. Some have four. It's really, really hotting up in the relegation zone. So I expect Luton to come out all guns blazing. And although, yes, Everton resources have been good so far, you know, it's a lot of stats go out the window. You're playing away at Luton. They're going to come out and they're going to be crazy, crazy at home to stay up. So, like, yeah, Burnley away, seems like a good fixture. Luton away seems like an okay fixture. You know, they're going to come out and they're just going to go for it. So, yeah, good on paper, decent teams, good defences, but, you know, when it gets to this stage of the season, anything can happen. On to our midfielder waiver suggestions, and straight away, one of our picks last week, we got to just get him out of the way, talk about him, Madueke. Madueke has still yet a game to play, and 12-pointer, goal and an assist. Played the 90, expect him to start against Spurs, and although I said last week, you know, I couldn't see him starting for the rest of the season, I probably can now. Very, very good performance. Plus, you know, a setback with Sterling's injury. Mudryk just didn't seem like he's going to nail down his spot. So Madueke is probably the best asset from Chelsea now, apart from Palmer, obviously. And Gallagher also came up trumps. I think Gallagher got a 9-pointer, as far as I'm aware, that assist got taken off him, which I was very, very disappointed about. 9-pointer, yeah, with a game to play. So, you know, it could change. So, Gallagher, Madueke, fantastic picks. And they're going to play that double in 37, followed by Bournemouth 38. But 36, they play West Ham. And West Ham are, I think they're third from bottom for expected goals against, or conceded, we'll say. They have an XG conceded of 70. Sheffield have 78, and Luton are last with 85. So, yeah, even them, even that West Ham game, fantastic fixture for our Chelsea asset. So, if you picked up Madueke, forget what I said last week. I would be holding him until the end of the season now. He's probably, you know, for the midfielder waiver picks that have come around in the last while, he's probably the best of them. You know, we've had snippets of players that could be good. He's come in as an option and actually delivered. So I think there's a couple of questions about, you know, midfielders for the rest of the season. He's got to be up there. If I don't know anyone that's going to be readily available on the waiver that's going to have the possible upside that he has with the extra fixture and the easy fixtures. So Madueke, number one, straight off the bat. If we look at other players, and I suppose I've highlighted a couple of these because there's questions in them, or questions about them, so I'm going to skip over a lot and talk about players that might have caught my eye. And Ciso keeps knocking on the door. Played 24 minutes for Brighton last week. They play Villa, and then they have the double. So really low pick, but he's had two nearly identical shots since he's came back, and they're like trying to represent the goal that he scored against City. So, and Ciso, just because I like him as well, could be a lovely pick. Adingra is kind of in the same boat, always knocking on the door. Don't know, will he start, will he not? Bit more consistent than Ciso. If both of them started, if Ciso started left and Adingra started right, and João Pedro started up top, and he had a set team, I think they'd do a lot, lot better. But yeah, maybe Ciso below Adingra, that's just for the doubles. Jacob Murphy banged an assist. What a legend. Averaging around 60 minutes per game. They play Burnley away and then that double. I think he's kind of like one of the most consistent wingers for Newcastle. Probably won't get the two starts in the double. Barnes probably gets one. But yeah, not a bad pickup. Get three fixtures out of him. Possibly get a fourth, a couple of minutes in the fourth. And yeah, Newcastle look good going forward. Hudson Odoi. Sheffield away. He has been very, very unlucky not to return in the last couple of game weeks. As we said last week, definitely should have got two assists for penalties against Everton. And they play Sheffield away, Chelsea at home, and Burnley away. So Chelsea haven't been that good at the back, even though I'm recommending some of their defensive picks. They are likely to score at any time, Forest. Even though, now that I look at the XG, they have some of the lowest XG. But they have them players like Gibbs White, Hudson-Odoi, Alanga, Wood that have all been very good this season in terms of attack and threat. So I feel Hudson-Odoi against Sheffield is a great, great one-week punt, but also one of those players that you could keep till the end of the season. Sheffield, Chelsea, Burnley. You know, can't really ask for much more. With three game weeks left, two teams that one's already relegated, one's very likely to be relegated and could be relegated by game week 38. And Forest are in that position where they have to win. So come game week 38, there's a high chance that Burnley are relegated and Forest need them points. Hudson-Odoi steps up and bangs. I'm convincing myself I need to get him in this week. Let me see. Alanga's there, but he's probably below Hudson-Odoi. He's had a couple of benchings and a couple of injury concerns recently, and Hudson-Odoi has really looked on it. But either of those, preferably Hudson-Odoi, great picks. Also on that list that I see, probably below Hudson-Odoi, is Jensen. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago. They play Fulham at home. He's a bit of a stalwart for Brentford. On free kicks, you know, on some dead balls, and that's probably the best thing about him. He actually gave a fantastic ball through to Tony that could have been an assist the last day. So he has some decent attacking threat going forward. Let me see what his XG is. He's had nearly 6 XG and 3 goals, 4 assists, very low level. Could return on any given day. If you needed someone that has 2 good fixtures, Fulham and Bournemouth, Jensen is there. Still probably go Hudson-Odoi and definitely go Madueke. Last 1 week punt for midfielders. Mentioned them last week. Two of them actually. Chong and Barkley. Everton at home. West Ham away. Fulham at home. They need to win games. Two of them games are at home. The last one is on the last day of the season. Fulham at home. They'll need to win that. The likes of Everton, West Ham, Fulham might actually be safe. Everton probably need the win this week, but West Ham, Fulham, probably going to be safe. You don't know what sort of teams you're going to get. The teams that really need the wins, the teams that are fighting for Europe, even Chelsea, fighting for as high as a place as they can get for the money they're going to get, and the teams that are trying to avoid relegation. Boom, we know what they need. It's kind of like the Champions League group stages where, you know, the top team is true and they have a big game in the league at the weekend, so they're going to play a weakened team versus the team that are in third that need to win. It's kind of obvious to predict the mentality of the players. So I like to go for easily predicted outcomes, which is never a case in FPL, but you know what I mean. On to our forward section of the podcast. And last week we had a lovely couple of players, like exciting players, and they all did pretty well. Bottom of the list was Cameron Archer, and he got 66 minutes against Newcastle. McBurney is actually injured for the rest of the season, as predicted last week. So there you go, you have a striker that's going to play. But we had a lot better than that. We didn't just have playing strikers, we had some scoring strikers. Two of them banged. Fortunately, Semenyo has picked up an injury, and although it's 50% on FPL, apparently it is a lot worse than that, and probably could take him to the end of the season. So if you picked him up, unfortunately, it could be a drop again. Stay tuned, follow us on Twitter. And we actually did share something on Twitter. Let me get it up. Semenyo. So Semenyo's injury looks like it could be, oh my God, it could be ACL. So let's just give an example of what the physio scout do. And Anthony Semenyo was stretchered off after suffering a knee injury. Knee collapsing in, pivoting action, and non-contact nature highly indicative of an ACL or meniscus injury. So best case scenario, they reckon MCL / bone bruise, however, doesn't look good. If ACL, 9 months. So really, really good understanding of what actually happened, and then also best and worst outcome. Yeah, doesn't sound good to me. It's, as I said, 50% on I was going to say 50% on Instagram, 50% on FPL, but you know, you can never really go by FPL. I would be looking up injuries if you have concerns. Someone that was on the list last week and is still on the list, Callum Wilson. I love this dude because I have him in draft, and you nearly get the feeling of when you can start him. I started him against Burnley. He didn't start, but came on, played 24 minutes and banged a goal. That's just what he does. He does not need much time. I'll be starting him again this week against Burnley, and I will probably be starting him in the double against Brighton and United, because, you know, he's Leon Bailey spec. Only needs a couple of minutes. Newcastle would probably be beating Burnley. Newcastle would probably be beating Brighton. So it's like teams are opened up. Probably needs to give Isaac a rest, as I mentioned last week as well. So Wilson could get a start over them. So I'd definitely be picking him up. And yeah, if they get a penalty, boom, he's on them. Some other players. João Pedro, I suppose, is one of those very, very good players that if he's on your waiver, they have that double. Villa, Newcastle, Chelsea, United. He has been playing well. It's just Brighton haven't been creating a crazy amount of chances. But he always racks up that XG. In the City game, 0.3. And again, they were very poor. In the Bournemouth game, 0.3. So he's always in and around the 0.3, 0.4, up to 5 mark, even if he doesn't score. So he's creating chances for himself, just probably not finishing them. João Pedro, boom, forward, Brighton, Villa, Newcastle, Chelsea, United. Tough fixtures, but they have that extra one. On to a couple of the lower level strikers that I have down on my list. We'll start with my boy Ünal, who we talked about on Twitter a couple of weeks ago when he signed. And unfortunately, he hasn't played as much time as I would have liked. But he has got a decent return for the time he's played. He scored 2 goals, 3 assists. He got a goal and assist the last game, 12-pointer. And he looks like he's going to get another start. Unfortunately, it's against Arsenal. I suppose that Semenyo injury has led to Ünal possibly playing. He played in more of a number 10 role. Kluivert's been playing very well. So Bournemouth have been coming into their own. And hopefully Ünal can be, you know, can be an instigator for them doing well at the end of the season. They play Arsenal, Brentford and Chelsea. They've kind of solidified themselves in the league. I think they're up to 10th in the league. So, you know, they might take the foot off the pedal. I think Ünal might get a contract next year. Great finish for the header. But yeah, if you want to pick up a striker, hopefully for Brentford more so than Arsenal, best defence in the league, Ünal could be there. More punty versions are Chermiti, Yusuf Chermiti for Everton. 90 minutes the last day. And that's because of a DCL injury, what do you know, and a Beto injury. So DCL injured as usual. The quote from injury expert was, Dom had been ill previous to the last game. He'd done brilliantly to get through it and just couldn't recover in time. Unfortunately, he doesn't make this one. Now that I think of it, there's loads of illnesses going around in the Premier League. Palmer was ill, Gusto was ill, DCL was ill. There was a couple more that I read were ill. So it's a funny one. You think they're going to get through it fairly quickly. But yeah, if he was playing through that, I don't know. I think DCL will be in contention. I think, you know, Chermiti might start. Probably only be one game, unfortunately. But it's against Luton away. You know, if he can get his head on something, if DCL remains out injured, which is very, very likely. They play Sheffield after that. So Luton, Sheffield, away then home. Not too bad. You know, I'd take that. And the last player who is back from injury, out for so, so long. The last time he played was Game Week 24. And that Game Week 24, he was probably the most sought after striker. It's Adebayo of Luton. He banged, let's just see his stats, so funny. So from Game Week 15, he went off. 2 goals in 15-16, then 1-20, a hat-trick in 22-23, and then an assist 24 and 25. Did not play all the way up until last week, 12 minutes. So he's back for Luton. They will really, really need him. And it actually segues perfectly into my first question. And the first question is, should you start Adebayo? Should I start Adebayo? And broken record, depends for who. I think Adebayo, I don't know if he gets the start. I don't know if he gets the start against Everton, but I still think he plays a good chunk. If they're struggling, he's going to come on fairly early. So I think you're working with like average maybe 50 minutes. Because even if he plays, he's probably not going to play the whole thing. I think it was a hamstring injury, as far as I remember. So he's not going to get 90 minutes. Would, if you knew he was going to play 60, would you start him? If you knew he's going, let's split it down the middle. 55 minutes Adebayo against Everton, who have been very good. I hate saying no to a striker because, you know, they can score at any time and, you know, 5 minutes into the game, whereas a defender, they have to keep a clean sheet for 90 or at least 60. So I hate saying no to a striker, but would you use the probability of Adebayo scoring against Everton in 55 minutes? I don't know if that lines up in your favour. So it depends who you're going to start ahead of him, but the chances of the other player getting more points are probably higher, statistically. Okay, let's get through the other questions. Sarabia out, Madueke in. I think that's a very obvious one. Yes, definitely. I would definitely love to get Madueke in. I'd sacrifice a good few players for him. Definitely Sarabia. Wolves have not been at it whatsoever. So, yeah, I would definitely get him in. Extra fixture also. Kraft or Livramento, and Char went off. That's a good point to bring up. Char went off with a slight injury. I think it was hamstring tightness. Now, the quote said that he couldn't sprint at full speed. And that, to me, doesn't sound good. As well as teams trying to fight for relegation and so on and so forth. When we look at teams, and I know Newcastle aren't in this kind of realm because, you know, they want to win all the games. But when we look at teams that are in the middle, and we have players like Neto, we have players like, let's say, Cher, that might be carrying an injury. Well, how badly do them teams need them? Are they going to risk Fabian Cher coming back, pulling a hamstring, and out for, you know, 2 months and doesn't get a proper break and a pre-season, so on and so forth? So I think if teams can rest them, it's only 3 games left, and they, you know, can do without them, they probably will. It depends on Cher's injury. I think Emil Kraft is a good pick because there's talks of Trippier coming back. But the same way, will Trippier want to wreck himself prior to the Euros just for the last couple of games for Newcastle? It's very, very hard to know. I think I have Kraft, and Kraft has been solid. Dan Byrne can also go left back. He played centre back the last day. So I'd probably go Kraft. Even though Livramento has higher upside, I think the probability of Kraft playing more from now to the end of the season is higher. So just have to go, you know, pretty standard on that and go Kraft. Start Adebayo, Evan answered. Hopefully that works out. Any late game Hail Marys? That's a great question. I suppose I've talked through a lot of midfielders. Let's go through any midfielder that I haven't maybe discussed that could be an outside shout from now until the end of the season. Grealish, I have both Grealish and Doku flagged here because I still think Grealish is going to be a decent pick, especially with like Foden illness. Slight Foden illness. Both of them started the last day, but I definitely think Grealish will get a nice few starts from now. Reading out a couple here. Barnes hasn't been trusted. Johnson will play a lot of minutes because Werner came off with a hamstring injury. Ward-Prowse, Chelsea away and Luton at home. Not a bad shout. McNeil, my boy, come on. Luton, Sheffield, Arsenal, definitely a good shout. Very, very unlucky to not return last week. Smashed the post. Had some very good chances. Playing very, very well. Obviously, McNeil has been talked about an awful lot recently. So, yeah, the boys like McNeil. Boys like, even would Decore pull something out of the bag the last couple of game weeks? He's got an assist at game week 34. 6 goals, 3 assists. They play Luton and Sheffield. Is he going to be the hero again? Maybe. Hee-Chan is back. So if Hee-Chan is on the waiver, unfortunately they play City, Crystal Palace and then Liverpool. I wouldn't go crazy out of the way. I would say like Hudson-Odoi, Madueke. If we really had to go out of the way, Decore, just to save the day. Decore, even though Everton are pretty safe, maybe Decore to save the day. But yeah, a lot of the waiver suggestions that I've talked about today are going to be some of the best picks. Thoughts on Garner over the next 2 game weeks? Again, all the players I've said previously in the midfielders are probably going to be better than him. Garner, yeah, is nailed on. He does take corners, but apart from that, I think he's only 1 goal, 1 or 2 assists this season, and his XG isn't far off that. So over 35 games, he's only racked up the guts of 3 XG. You know, if he got one more return from now to the end of the season, he'd be practically overperforming. So, yeah, he could get an assist from a corner, but all the other players I've mentioned have way more higher probability than doing so. Couple more questions. Who would you pick from now until the end of the season? Cucurella, Young, or Livramento? So, I talked about Livramento, how there is a chance of Trippier coming back. If not, he'd be a decent pick. I'd just be slightly hesitant. He hasn't really been trusted as much as I thought this season. But definitely a good pick for this week against Burnley. Young, I love him, and he's done brilliantly for me. But that doesn't mean he's going to be the best pick from now until the end of the season. If we look at Everton's fixtures, Luton, Sheffield, Arsenal, good. But as I said, Luton are going to be gung-ho to stay up. Sheffield at home, great fixture. Arsenal away, terrible fixture. So only three of them, you know, one okay, one great, one bad. Cucurella, left back for Chelsea, practically nailed down. Extra fixture, West Ham, Forest, Brighton, Bournemouth. So I probably have to go with the man with the extra fixture. Cucurella unfortunately got a minus one. He's on a minus one. He could do well. What day is it today? Tuesday, Thursday night. He could do well. But I think you're going to have to go statistically. Cucurella, left back, would probably be the best pick between them three. What would you do? I'm currently holding Ward-Prowse. And he's one of those players, I've had him last year, where you don't want to get rid of him, but it's hard to keep him. Because, again, any time he could score a free kick, what do I do? Couple of players here. Manu, double game week. Anderson, double game week. Hamer, Sheffield United. Keep Ward-Prowse or get Harrison. Jesus, not a massive pick to pick from. I think, looking at all them, I'd probably keep Ward-Prowse. I know, again, it's so easy. But when you try and bounce around players, it is hard to get it right. Ward-Prowse at any time can return. Anderson playing slightly deeper. Maino deep. Harrison has been rotated. He'd probably be my second pick. Harrison would probably be my second pick because, Everton have decent fixtures in terms of attack and threat. But again, it's hard to get rid of Ward-Prowse. Could take some penalties. Could whip something in. I think he's one of them players. Sometimes is great if he's having a good season. But then when he's not returning, he's just like a little bit of an anchor in your team where it's like, oh, I want to get rid, but he has an upside. So I'd probably stick with him, unfortunately. Probably what you don't want to hear. And then last but not least, Jesus or Unal? Wow. That is mad how that's an actual question. Last week, that wasn't a question. You know, at the start of the season, it wasn't even a question. Jesus, 18 minutes against Chelsea. No minutes against Spurs. Hard to go against an Arsenal attacker that plays Bournemouth United, who are one of the worst defences in the league, and then Everton. But if he's not playing, he's not playing. And Unal is kind of like in that position where it's like he will probably play. And he plays for Bournemouth. Oh, Lord. Am I going to have to say Unal? Oh, I'm going to say Jesus. Okay, I can't. My gut says that even if Jesus plays a small bit of time against Bournemouth, United or Everton, he could outscore Unal. Not that Unal's a bad pick, but what's Jesus' stats this season? What are your guesses off the top of your head if you don't know? I don't know what I was going to guess, but his goals are 4 and 6 assists. Played 1,400 minutes, so he's averaging around, I know he's missed a good few fixtures, averaging around 50-60 minutes per game. In the last 4 game weeks, he has started, last 5 game weeks, he started 3, 18 minutes, and then 0. So it is hard to predict. We know the best setup for Arsenal. And the problem is that the best setup is without Jesus. And they've got the best results without Jesus. So does that tell you that he's just not going to play? I still think it's very hard to go against him. Fuck it, Unal. Hopefully my boy goes off. But if you are looking for injury updates, we retweet both of those pages. Physio Scout and Injury Expert. We give any relevant news on the draft and any players that might be associated with it. So, Instagram and Twitter, hit us up. If you have any questions in the meantime, let us know. But other than that, FPL Draft Show out. Boom.